Hi, welcome back, students, and those of you who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. First-time listeners, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to another new episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. I'm glad you could join me for episode 012. I hope your week went well and was productive. Actually, I hope your last 2 weeks went well. Sorry about last week, but man, it was just crazy. Monday, I had a ton of things to do and had planned to record Monday night or Tuesday, the latest. I usually record this show on Monday. And it's Monday now, and my cup of joe is next to me, and it's first thing in the day. I won't say what time it is. I don't start my day that early. Anyway, I was planning to do it Monday night or Tuesday, the latest. But when I was leaving one of my Monday students, Olivia's, lesson, and was on my way to teach Anya, I attempted to stop and had no brakes. Not low brakes, not worn-out brake shoes. I am talking no brakes. I had no problem stopping when I arrived at Olivia's, and as far as I know, there isn't a mob contract out on me, even though I do live in New Jersey, so there was no foul play. But still, a few blocks from Olivia's, my brakes utterly failed when the traffic I was in stopped so a driver up ahead could make a left turn when oncoming traffic permitted. To say I was surprised would be a colossal understatement. Imagine being in traffic and not being able to stop. I mean, at all. No resistance on the brakes. Nothing. No grinding, no hissing, no squeaking, no anything. So, of course, I just pumped and pumped and pumped, which did nothing. And I steered alternately right and left, sort of to make the car go in a serpentine fashion. I was really blessed because I was in local traffic and had not yet gotten on the highway. I wasn't going fast, and I'm so grateful that I had the sense enough to not be right on the bumper of the car ahead of me. So, you know, that whole thing that they teach you in driver's ed, to leave as many a car length for every 10 miles an hour you're going, seems like you can't do it, but it's really a good idea in case your brakes fail. So, when I was able to stop, I put my flashers on, I called Anya to reschedule her lesson, and I called home to say I was coming directly without any brakes. Anyway, when I got home, the E-man checked it all out. One thing led to another, and the evening was gone before I could get to the recording of the podcast. I mean, it really wasn't the main thing on my mind. We were scrambling to figure out how we were going to get to work and what we were going to do. So over the rest of the week, other time-draining things kept coming up, and the only thing I could sacrifice was recording. So I apologize. My full intention is to do this podcast weekly. If there's an interruption in my intended schedule, it's not going to be a cavalier thing. I take these shows seriously, and barring any future major life complications or a vacation, which I'm jonesing for, I'll be posting an episode a week, hoping to record on Monday and mix and post by Tuesday whenever possible. So much for that. Get your brakes checked. Have somebody get under your car. The issue with my brakes wasn't a leak. The brake line just totally blew. It just corroded. It was like tissue paper, the parts that were left when it was attempting to be repaired. So get your brake line checked if your car's a few, you know, older, which mine is. Anyway, on to other news. And not news, not the news episode, but the intro stuff. So if you've been following the podcast for the last couple of weeks, a student, Arno, was ready to bump up to a little bit better guitar than what he had. And when last we left Arno, he was deliberating between two models of Taylor, and he got his guitar. He decided on a Taylor, I think it's a 110 CE. It's a dreadnought-shaped acoustic electric. His father-in-law bought it for his 40th birthday. How nice was that? What a great commemorative gift. And what a great father-in-law. I mean, gee, that is amazing. So he texted yesterday to say he got the guitar. He actually had it in his possession. The father-in-law didn't surprise him. You know, his father-in-law asked him to pick it out. So that was just great. I can't wait to hear the difference in his playing at his next lesson, because the action and the neck profile and all that on the Taylor is heads and shoulders better than what he was already playing. So that's just great. And now he's got a guitar that if his daughter ever wants to begin playing, can put a little bit lighter tension strings on it and she can play that guitar. Or it's a great kicking around travel guitar, you know, if they go to the beach or they go up to, you know, up north and take a week away, he's got a guitar to kick around. Although he probably won't want to leave the Taylor at home. Let's see what else was going on this week. My new student, Julia, with whom I guitar shopped over Labor Day, had her first two lessons since I last podcast, and she's done very well. Good going, Julia. And Elliot, Marav, and Olivia are back from long breaks. It's great to have you three back in my schedule. I did miss you all. And Talia, I'm looking forward to seeing you the first week of October. Then pretty much everybody from last year who's returning will be returned. So that's it for today's intro. Let's really get into the show and move along to the spotlight. The warm glow of the spotlight this week falls on six students. They are Arno, Arthur, Danielle, Elliot, Julia, and Melissa. Well, the chicks have made a comeback. Yay! Last podcast, there was only dudes there. Some students returned in the last couple of weeks, and if they're not in this list already, I hope they will be in the spotlight before not too long a time passes. They've excelled in the past, and they took the summer or a very significant time off and now have returned. So they should have their playing chops back in the not-too-distant future. I look forward to congratulating them in the coming weeks. A couple of students' schedules have been sacrificed at the altar of crummy time management now that they're back in the swing of their normal schedule. Kick it into gear, guitarists. Do you want to play and be an accomplished guitarist, or do you want to be a wannabe? I mean, it's really up to you. But don't moan because you're not advancing and not mastering your instrument and exercises or things for your dexterity or speed studies or having to do something over because it was certainly not even up to par, never mind excellent, is not going to get you anywhere. You have to make sacrifices for all of the best things in life. You better just adjust to it, learn it, believe it, and taste it. You know, put your effort in, sacrifice what's not important for what is important to you. And hey, if playing guitar isn't important to you, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your or your parents' money, whether you're a student or an adult, and you're really wasting my time if you don't want to do it. So this is not a rant at the spotlight, guys. You guys did really great. But those of you who are kind of moaning and dragging your picks, as it were, kick it up. Step up, suck it up, play. You know, Nike's slogan is pretty good. Just do it. So, didn't mean this spotlight congratulations to be a rant, but I see the traditional September doldrums setting in with a lot of students. So figure out what's important. If it's important, it's worth working for. If it's not important, don't bother. I mean, you know, you're not doing me any favor. You're not doing yourself any favor. Actually, you're depleting your energy. You're distracting yourself from something really important that warrants your time if guitar playing isn't it. So, you know, I'm not going to beg you to play. You know, you don't want to play, don't waste my time. But anyway, let me get back to the congratulations. All right, Arno, Arthur, Danielle, Elliot, Julia, and Melissa, you played extraordinarily well this week. I'm delighted with what you're doing. You guys don't seem to have, well, one of you, and you know who you are, does have a time management problem, but I think we've dealt with that. Okay, so let's move on to the question of the week, and I'll stop my rant. Thank you. question of the week is pretty good. Here's the question. Why are eighth notes beamed in groups? It confuses me. Why can't there just be one beam for all of them? When the beam stops, it makes me want to stop. Well, this question did not come from Gary, the student with whom I conducted what we affectionately termed rhythm boot camp over the summer. I'll have to ask Gary this question to make sure he can tell me the answer. The question came from a newer, less experienced student, but judging by the written manuscript some of my students give me, I'd say it's a good question and it's a good time to answer the question. First, let me begin by saying if you are a self-taught player, play by ear, or play exclusively from tabs and don't have any other musical training, an eighth note is a note that's depicted in music by a note head, the solid roundish part, a stem, the vertical line that emanates either from the right side of the note head and goes upward, or the left side of the note head and goes downward, and either a single flag, and by flag I mean a little calligraphy-looking wave that begins at the end of the stem and goes in the direction of the head, or a beam, a thick horizontal line that joins the stem ends of a group of eighth notes. Here, we're referring to the eighth notes that are beamed with that horizontal, thick line. Not the ones with flags. Well, it's a perfectly reasonable question from a student who has not had enough experience to realize the benefit of having eighth notes or any other beamed type of notes beamed in groups. If the composer or music editor of your music is informed and adheres to traditional notation, the beams of group notes are determined by beat or by emphasis in the measure. Here are a couple of examples of what I mean. In a four time, it's rather common to see two groups of eighth notes in a measure as follows: a four note group and another four note group, and that would make up your measure. And we're of course here assuming, just for the purpose of discussion, that these measures are full of just eighth notes and no other rhythmic values. Less likely in a four time is eight eighth notes beamed together. And that's what my student was opting for. The student who asked would really like to not even have bar lines, because even those bar lines, because it's a vertical break in the flow of the written notation, and because the student is really new, it makes them think there's a stop. They are seeing a bar line sort of like a period at the end of a sentence. So it's just something they have to begin to overcome. And the only way you overcome it, in case any of you out there are having the same idea that you're thinking of each measure as a sentence of music, which couldn't be farther from the truth, you need to begin to train your eye to read ahead. That's the only way the bar line isn't going to make you take a pause, because if you're reading through a measure, and let's say you're in a four count, in a four time, and you're at the third count of that measure or third beat of that measure, your eye should already be at least to the first beat of the next measure, maybe to the first and second beat of the next measure. So you've got three beats, so you're looking a total of maybe three beats ahead of where you're actually playing, so that there's no surprises, so that you don't have an inordinate pause just because you have to use your pinky and stretch, or because you're moving position, or there's just some little surprise. So this student isn't at that level yet, so he or she is really still processing note by note as they're playing. Anyway, back to this explanation. So it's less likely we'll see eight eighth notes beamed together. And the reason that that is because ordinarily in a four time that's not syncopated, there are two main points of emphasis or accent in a measure. Beat one and beat three are accented. Beat one is a strong accent, beat three is a lesser accent. Therefore, the first group of the eighth notes I mentioned in the beginning, the ones that are grouped in four eighth notes and then another group of four eighth notes, the first group of eighth notes begins with the first half of beat one, which is an emphasized beat. The second group of eighth notes, that's the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth notes that are beamed together, begin on the first half of beat three. So a trained musician's eye sees the separation, which is contingent and congruent with executing the passage, including those primary and secondary accents of the measure correctly. So that's really why the editing is done that way, and it's helpful to a knowledgeable musician. Other people just look at it and they don't even realize that it's not random. It's not just how somebody was feeling that day or makes the page look nice. It's there for a reason. Now, in a three time, you might see six eighth notes beamed together, which is a distinct difference from not seeing eight eighth notes beamed together in a four time. And that's because there's only one accent in a traditional three time. You know, you have a hard one and a soft 2-3. So in a circumstance where you're in a three time, now I don't mean a three time as any three pulsed time. I don't mean a six time or a nine time. I mean a strictly a three time, a waltz time. You're likely going to see your eighth notes beamed together because the accent is on the very first beat. In a three time, you might also see three pair of eighth notes beamed. So you'd have a one and, a two and a three and. Really depends on what your music is. It depends on when the music was written. Depends on who the editor was. Both would be equally correct. It has to do with style a lot more in the case of a three time than in the case of a four time. Okay, so if you had a three time and three pairs of eighth notes, that would indicate that each pair of eighth notes is a particular beat. You might run into four pair of eighths in a four time also, but a good editor will probably give you the two groups, the one and two and the three and four and, grouped separately. So this student who has a struggle not pausing at the end of each group of eighth notes because of the visual cue they're seeing from the beams, I'm hoping will soon have enough experience to reinforce their theoretical knowledge with what they see on the printed page and be appreciative for well-edited music rather than struggling to overcome the urge to stop playing as they're doing now. So it was a good question. I hope you've taken a close look at any manuscripts you play from and have noticed whether the editing is good or not. That's why there are some multiple editions of various pieces of music. There are a couple of editors I like for classical music in particular. That's where some of the rendering of the notation is accurate if the music is going to be synthesized by a not knowing, not understanding mechanism. But when a trained musician sees a really poorly edited manuscript, it's much harder to play. It's kind of like not seeing capital letters and punctuation in a paragraph. You know, it takes a while to really make sure you've got the gist of what's being represented. And that's what a poorly edited manuscript offers you, or actually doesn't offer you. Okay? So that was a really, really good question from a beginner musician, and I'm glad that you are asking questions. So, let's move along to this week's guitar news. Well, I've been plugging Taylor, not intentionally. Well, sort of intentionally. I've been mentioning Arno's decision to buy a Taylor, and that Taylor was among the three brands that he was considering initially in his price range. And Bob Taylor still hasn't sent me a guitar. Bob, come on. Anyway, this week's news is news from the Martin Guitar Factory in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. First of all, if you're in driving distance and have not ever been there, you gotta go. They have a very informative tour, a gear shop, a museum. You know, it's just a great trip. If you go and you're going to play some Martins and look around, wear clothes that won't scratch anything up when if you get to play something. Okay, so the news I'd like to give you is not time-sensitive news. And again, if you're in driving distance of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, which people in my area are, and I always encourage my students to go, Martin offers guitar care seminars every Friday, with the exceptions of when they're closed. So one of the links that I'm putting up for Martin is going to be their visitor hours. But on Fridays, except for holidays, from 11 a.m. to noon, in the lobby of the Martin Visitor Center in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, there is a guitar care seminar. This is something really great to take advantage of. In this one-hour seminar, their customer repair technicians will discuss proper care and maintenance of Martin guitars, as well as anybody else's guitar. I mean, if you have especially if you're an acoustic player, you electric players may not be so enthralled with this, but it's a really informative tour that you get about the making of guitars, and you electric players may not be so enamored of the whole acoustical construction of a guitar so that it resonates and amplifies sound correctly. But you're going to see amazing things done with guitar necks and fretting them and all that. So, you know, it's a worthwhile trip for just about anybody who plays the guitar or is interested or just is a scientific person. But anyway, at this seminar, they're going to discuss proper care and maintenance of your Martin or other guitar, along with some interesting tips to help you get the most out of your guitar. They're going to talk about protecting the finish. They're going to talk about action and playability. They're going to discuss temperature and humidity, and that is the biggest devastator of instruments that I see around, aside from people who just, you know, smash their guitars into things mindlessly. They're going to talk about top deflection, strings, and electronics. So this is such a worthwhile thing, and if you've taken a tour but have never gone to the guitar care seminar, it's probably time for another visit. So that's at 11 a.m. to noon at the Martin Guitar Center's Martin Guitar Factory's Visitor Center. It's in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. From where I am, it's probably a two-hour drive, maybe a little bit less, something like that. Not terrible. I'll have links up, and I hope that you take advantage of this. And as where I live in the northeast of the United States, autumn is setting in. We've had a couple of hot days, but, you know, today's a cold, rainy day. It really feels like autumn's upon us. I will be going through some guitar maintenance information as well on this podcast, so you can listen to it. But, you know, let master guitar builders talk you through it. They probably have a lot more insight than I do. I have not built a guitar. I've just owned them for a long time, and I take really good care of my instruments. You know, I'll be passing along some of this information, but a little field trip to the Martin factory is always a pleasant thing. That really having tongue-tied issues today is probably because I didn't record last week. That wraps up the news for this week. And, by the way, next week will be the September student review. I try to do the student reviews in the first week of each new month. So that will be included in next week's episode. Students, you got 1 week to redeem yourselves if your review isn't going to be peachy. Now let's move on to the Take Notes segment. regular listeners are going to let out a moan or give me an eye roll, but I have one more thing to discuss if you're in the market for a new guitar. Don't kill me. I mean, this is reasonable. We're going into a time when there's a lot of gifts being given and a lot of gifts being received, and I just want to have you fully armed for your next guitar purchase, or for that matter, your first guitar purchase. So Arno is the happy new owner of a Taylor. It's a guitar he really likes. He played several of them, which was wise. He played them to make sure that it was the one he wanted. It's comfortable, he loves the neck profile, and everything else important. Here was my thought when I found out his father-in-law was going to be gifting it to him rather than him buying it himself. And let me just step aside. Anyone who knows me well knows I'm a purist. I'm truly purist when it comes to guitars. And I'm a purist in many other areas of interest in my life. My thought was for Arno to match his father-in-law's contribution in order to get a solid wood guitar rather than a solid top and laminate back and sides. Now, please understand, I'm not rolling in dough, and I'm not discounting the difference between $800 or $900 and $1,800 or $1,900. Believe me, it's a big difference, and it's not something everyone can spend. But Arno was going to buy the guitar himself, so I just thought I'd throw that in. For me, and I'm only speaking for me, if I had the cash for the guitar before Dad-in-law offered the gift, I would do everything I could to take the money I was going to spend, add it to the gift, and bump my purchase up to the all-wood model. Unamplified, the difference between an all-wood and a solid top and laminate sides is huge. And the difference in the sound really becomes much more pronounced after years of playing. It's the cellularity and the what is called opening up. And I don't mean cracking, it just means the continuous flexing of fine wood that causes the guitar to sound really astoundingly beautiful. So when you only have the flexing of natural good wood on the soundboard of the guitar and not on the back and the sides, the improvement and warming and aging of the sound of the instrument, no matter how much you play it, is not going to ever match the sound of an all-wood guitar. So it's just a thought. Most of the premier builders do offer a few nice guitars in that quote unquote just under $2,000 range. You know, we're talking about $1,800, $1,900, right around there. Just about all of the builders offer something of good builders offer something right around there. It's considered their low end of solid wood guitars. You know, something I mentioned to Arno, I have a little expression, I never met a laminate I wanted to take home with me. You know, it's just me. But anyway, keep it in mind if you're ready to buy a new guitar and you're thinking of spending over $900 or $1,000. If you can allocate twice that much money, you can get an all-wood guitar if that's of interest to you. For me, I'd delay a purchase in just about any circumstance. And I delay a purchase to get all wood. But, you know, it may not be a big deal. Now, I know he's going to play this guitar amplified a lot of the time. So, you know, I think he wants to spend the difference on an amp. It's not a bad thought. It's not a wrong thought. As I said, this is really a matter of taste. And I am totally guilty of being a purist. So, it's just a thought. If you're looking to spend a significant amount of money for a guitar, you might just want to consider the value of all solid wood instead of just solid wood top. Okay? Well, that wraps it up for the segments of episode 012. Let's move over to the outro. drawing this episode to a conclusion, I want to draw your attention to whatever music you're playing from, if you're playing from music. I hope you're playing from music. Take a look, see if your editors of the stuff you're working on have given you some subtle clues in the music as to where rhythmic emphasis belongs or other things. I hope you have a great week. I hope that if you're thinking about buying a guitar, you'll consider all wood if it's in your budget. Another way to get an all wood guitar if laminate is not sounding like what you would like your instrument to sound like is to look for a used instrument. Used guitars, if they're not in bad condition, can be really, really good value. If you're near the Pennsylvania area, if you're in the New York metro area for sure, Nazareth, Pennsylvania, it's worth a trip to hear about guitar care from people who really know guitars over at the Martin Factory. So have a great week. I hope it's productive, and I hope you're going to practice. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for this episode of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. And you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please take note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for the question of the week. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, or you can join the guitartechniquetutor.com Facebook page. Links to both are on the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com homepage and podcast page. You'll also find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, as well as to subscribe to the show notes by email or by a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. Calling is best, and my phone number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.